As I said to the folks at 8:30, I wrote a whole sermon about your call story and what that could look like, and inviting you to consider what your call story is. And I still hold that invitation to you, but I woke up at 5:30 this morning and realized that wasn't what I wanted to say. So hopefully what I do want to say makes some sense. I had two experiences this week that I wanted to share with you. So the first experience was on Thursday night when members of the choir and members of our congregation joined with other churches in Richmond for the service of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. It was hosted by Peace Mennonite Church. It was the first time we've had the Anabaptists with us. Typically, that service is held and attended by those of us in kind of the mainline traditions, right? So the folks that you hear me telling you that we do stuff with all the time, the Catholics, the Uniteds, the Lutherans, and us, right? But this year, we were hosted by Peace Mennonite, and we had folks, in fact, the preacher from the Armenian church, and we had even a member from, one of the pastors from St. John, Vancouver, which is a part of the Anak tradition, the folks that left the Anglican church over the blessing of same-gendered people and the ordination of women. So pastors and priests from all of those traditions co-presided at a service together. It was beautiful. And our choir did a fantastic job along with the choir from Peace Mennonite. It was a really remarkable service. And the sermon that we heard that night preached by, I am not going to be able to say his name, but one of the Armenian priests, talk to us about how unity does not mean uniformity. And we hear about that in the letter from Paul this morning, right? In which he questions those who are reading the letter in Corinth about, like, whose name were you baptized in? Was it the dude who baptized you, or was it Jesus? Just that invitation again to remember that we are united together, that we stand together as people who follow Jesus, even though we hold different interpretations of Scripture and different variations of what looking like following Jesus looks like. We follow those basic tenets that Jesus taught us together. The second experience I had was the next night, in which I hosted members, the priests from our archdeaconry. So we belong to kind of a wider geographical area called the Archdeaconry of Fraser, which is Richmond and Delta. And so the clergy from those, from the archdeaconry, all came to my house for dinner. And I looked around my living room, and there was this incredible group of people from Zimbabwe, from the northern Philippines, from China. There was a queer couple. We were all hanging out together. And I thought, what a gift to be together. What a gift to have such an incredible, diverse group laughing and telling stories and being together. Because friends, my heart is so heavy right now. The news is so devastating. And what is happening in the country right next door should be terrifying to us, because that border is more porous than we like to believe it is. The ideas, the beliefs, the things that get spouted there in political arenas make their way into our own. And I am watching also as colleagues, people that I know and care about, are going to Minnesota to stand as faith leaders, bishops and priests and deacons and members of Christian faiths who are going to stand against what is happening in that country, in which people from, you know, immigrants, people from various backgrounds, folks who are vulnerable, are being targeted, right? And so when we read this morning our gospel, in which quotes the text from Isaiah, which says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." And then Jesus proclaims, "Repent, the kingdom of God," or "the kingdom of heaven is near." We talked about this earlier, that repent in Greek, I'm going to get this wrong, is metanoio. I practiced this, but I didn't. I'm not a Greek scholar. But it means to change one's mind, the version that is used in this morning's gospel, to change one's mind, right? And then Jesus walks by these four ordinary fisher folks, right? Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he says to them, follow me. We're gonna cast the net out. You're gonna become fishers of people. And they go on curing, proclaiming good news and curing every disease and sickness. And so if we're gonna think about what are the diseases and sicknesses that we need curing from, I might suggest to you that it is this division that is being set one against another, in which the most vulnerable are being made to feel incredibly unsafe, right? So if we're gonna think about call stories, if we're gonna think about the ordinary people that Jesus gathered around him and said, come on, we're gonna go do this, we need to also understand that God is speaking to us, that there might be ways that we need to consider showing up in our lives, using our voices, using our bodies, using our hearts and our minds to proclaim what the kingdom of God looks like. Because we know, right? We catch a glimpse of it every time we gather here on Sunday mornings, when we sit side by side, when we remember, as we did a few weeks ago, what our baptismal covenant is, right? To respect the dignity of every human being, to care for this planet, and to follow Jesus to the best of our abilities. So if we're gonna think about call stories, I hope that is what we hold before us, and that we remember the words of the Armenian father on Thursday night, that unity does not mean uniformity. We don't all have to believe exactly the same way. We don't all have to hold the same truth of what it looks to follow Jesus look like exactly, but we do have to remember that Jesus' core teaching was to love our neighbors, and that that is how we show up and love God. May it be so with us. Amen.